What's going on, everybody? We are live. You are tuned in to Hooping It Up with Kai, with your host, Makai Williams. And we got a very interesting topic today. We will be talking about and we'll be just breaking down the Rudy Gobert trade. I've been wanting to do this for the last couple of weeks, but here we are today, and we're going to be addressing what happened. As I understand, it was a huge blockbuster trade. I didn't really actually pay too much attention to it when Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN tweeted about it, and then it was all over like Bleacher Report, House of Highlights, you know, Overtime. Everybody posted about it because I didn't really understand the trade at first, but now that a lot of time has went by, I can really give my outlook and what I believe this means, not only for the Minnesota Timberwolves for the 2022-23 NBA season, but also for their future. And also I'll be breaking down the Utah Jazz side of things of what I think is going to happen. And also for their future. And also I'm going to talk about Rudy Gobert right now. Just to talk about Rudy Gobert, I won't even lie. I'm not too big on Rudy Gobert. I've never been too big on Rudy Gobert. But I will acknowledge that he is an amazing defensive player. Amazing defensive player. Every single series that I've watched the Utah Jazz played in, I've always seen his impact just on the defensive end. You know, like, he shuts down every single center, or at least, you know, limits them to a certain degree. So if he's going against a superstar center or all-star center, he's not going to stop him, but he'll challenge it. He'll limit him. But I know he signed a $205 million over 5-year contract with the Utah Jazz back in, what year is that? I forgot what year is that. Maybe a couple years ago. So I think that I know he's through like 2026 though. So he's still in the same contract. We'll see what the Minnesota Timberwolves do with him in 2026. But let's talk about the trade details. So the Timberwolves just get Rudy Gobert. They don't get any additional players from the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz get Malik Beasley. They get Patrick Beverley, Leonardo Balmaro, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, a 23 first-round pick, a 25 first-round pick, a 27 first-round pick, a 29 first-round pick that is top five protected. Look, I mean, Rudy Gobert is a three-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. I believe he's a six-time defensive all-team. He's an amazing defensive player. The problem, why I said before I'm not too big on Rudy Gobert, is because his offensive game and – I haven't seen him develop an offensive game at all. I don't believe he has a very good offensive repertoire. I've never really seen him have any post moves. But you know, he is a very good, 10 and 16, get a couple blocks. You know, he's a great defensive player, which is fine. But I think for him going forward, I think he really needs to just work on post moves. And he doesn't need to be a three-point center. I really don't think so. I think his defense is perfect where it's at. I don't think his defense is perfect where it's at. I think he's a very underrated perimeter defender. I don't think he's the greatest, but I think he's a very underrated perimeter defender. In the paint, I mean, he just clocks the paint. I mean, he causes problems for every single offensive team. I just think that he really needs to work on his offensive game, his post moves, and, you know, just getting the ball at the block. But also, I will say that with the Utah Jazz, a problem that I see, he was not getting the ball. He was not getting the ball. At first, I was just like, he wasn't making himself very that much available, being 7-1, you know. But there was many times, and I saw even in the first round against the Dallas Mavericks, there was many times where he should have got the ball more. And a couple of reasons why, a big reason why I don't think it was feeding him is because if he gets the ball and, let's say, a smaller guard like Jalen Brunson fouls him just going up, he's most likely going to miss either two or make one miss two. And it may be just miss two. But, yeah, his free throws do need work. I've heard that he is working this offseason with his free throws and all that. So that is great to hear. But it is true. I do believe he should have got a lot more touches down low, and he was getting very underlooked down there. But with all that being said, I just want to talk about the Timberwolves side of things. So he's going to be locked up until 2026, like I said. So what this does, I think this gives a lineup of D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Jordan McDaniels, Cat at the four, and Rudy Gobert at the five. Now, this is very interesting. So Cat will be moving to the four. I think this works out very, very well for the Timberwolves because, yeah, Cat is not a very good rebound. I just don't think that's his, you know, his strength. You know, he's never been an amazing rebounder. He's been a good rebounder, a decent rebounder at his size at, what, 6'11", 7 feet. But he's never been an amazing rebounder. You know, it takes, you know, as a five, you saw what Anthony Davis, you know, as a center, you're getting banged up. You know, you're doing a lot of screening, you're rolling, you know, you're trying to get rebounds, you're boxing out and all that. So your body's getting banged up. And what helped the 2020 Lakers in their championship run, putting AD at the four and letting JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard do all the dirty work down low, getting rebounds, boxing out, allowed AD to flourish in his role, being the stretch four and dominating. I think this will very well help Cat being at the four, being a stretch big and doing what he does his best, and being letting Rudy Gobert at the five and doing what he does best, you know, setting very good screens, getting all the rebounds and blocking shots and clocking the paint. I think that works very well for the Timberwolves. The thing I don't like about the Timberwolves is I think they gave up way too much for Rudy Gobert. I mean, they gave up, this is what, 1, 2, 3, 4. I believe it's one more. I don't know. Maybe I think it's, they gave up around 4 or 5 draft picks along to go with a lot of bench depth. I mean, this, yeah, I believe this is too much for Rudy Gobert. I believe this was way too much for Rudy Gobert. I would have kept Jared Vanderbilt. And it's just losing 4 or 5 draft picks. I mean, that's their future, you know, but I mean, they think this is a move that will put them top 5 in the West and be able to compete for a championship in the future. I know they did just get a pickup as a free agent. I don't know who it was. I want to say Austin Rivers, but I'm probably wrong. But I know they just did get a good pickup. But, yeah. Now I just want to talk about also, last thing what I want to say. I think the Timberwolves will do good next season. I don't think they'll be top 3. I don't even think they'll be top 5. I think they'll land at that 6th spot. If they really want to flourish next season, I think that Anthony Edwards has to be that number one option. It's that time. I don't think it has to be Cat. It definitely not has to be D'Lo. It has to be Anthony Edwards being that number one option. And also D'Lo, I believe he has to play better. In the playoffs, he did shy away from a lot of shots. He did not play well. And he did acknowledge it in an interview recently. So that's good. And Cat, he needs to get better with consistency. And I think the team will do well. Rudy Gobert will do what Rudy Gobert does, getting rebounds, blocking shots, and playing great defense. For the Utah Jazz, I mean, it's very complicated. If you're a Utah Jazz fan, I mean, it is very complicated and a sad time for you. I'm a Nets fan, so it is a very sad time for me too. But for a Utah Jazz fan, it is very, very, very sad. And I say very sad because you don't even know if your best player is going to get traded. I mean, looking at this trade, it's like, what's next? So now you have all these draft picks, and then now you have all these good role players, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, you have Jerry Vanderbilt who can come off the bench, you still have Eric Paschal come off the bench, you still have Jordan Clarkson, you still have Mike Conley on the team, you still have Bojan on the team. You still have some good pieces with that team. So with the front office, it's just, what's going to happen? And then it's like the last 2 weeks I've been seeing the Jazz been talking to Dolan and the Knicks about a potential Knicks trade, Donovan Mitchell going to the Knicks, and they want at least 7 draft picks. Okay, so first of all, the Utah Jazz is delusional. The only player that I honestly think that could get 7 draft picks for right now is Kevin Durant. But 7 draft picks is just crazy. I did hear that the New York Knicks did try to offer, I think, like 4 or something like that. But yeah, 7 draft picks is crazy. But I just don't understand the Utah Jazz. I just don't understand. I get the trade of getting Rudy Gobert, this step. And I do going forward, I just think this season is just a wash. I think you just got to see what you can get the next offseason or see what you can do at the deadline maybe or something like that. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to leave. I think that Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets are just going to keep him around for the season. And I do think that the Utah Jazz getting all those first-round picks was going to try to offer something to get Kevin Durant. But at this point, I don't think that's going to happen whatsoever. I don't know what's going on with the Utah Jazz. It's very complicated. It's a very complicated situation. So I'll definitely revisit and make an episode solely for the Utah Jazz in the next couple of weeks. I just want to see where everything is going. Like, I just very confused. I don't know why they want to trade Donovan Mitchell. The Utah Jazz, in my opinion, screwed themselves up. And why I say this is because they kept the same core of Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and Bojan Bogdanovic for the longest. And it's like they get to this far, I believe, like 2 years ago, they should have, or a year ago. I believe a year ago, they should have blew it up and tried to do something different. And it didn't even have to do with trading Rudy Gobert. Maybe just like get rid of Bojan, or seeing that Mike Conley is getting older and maybe we need to do something. Maybe trade him to get like a high draft pick or something like that. And let's get like a younger guard, or just get a younger guard in general. Like, I even think like Jalen Brunson would be perfect alongside Donovan Mitchell, just because his playmaking and his shot creating, his mid-range and his ability to create for himself and also for his others, and his ability to bring the defense and collapse it and kick out to the open man at the winger in the corner. I don't know what's going to go on with the Utah Jazz. It's very complicated. I don't know why they're looking to trade Donovan Mitchell, but it's a mystery. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, I will be coming back and just revisiting what's going to go on with the Utah Jazz, because I'm actually very interested. I don't know what's going on. And I know just Donovan Mitchell hearing all this stuff is probably making him like, you know, maybe I do want to leave, you know. But we're going to see. Appreciate you guys for listening. It's a great episode. Like I said, we're going to revisit the Utah Jazz situation soon once I get some more news and everything. We're going to see where the Timberwolves fall next season, the Jazz fall next season. And, yep, thank you guys for watching. Peace out. Hoop Nipple Kai.